He struts like John Wayne, resembles Jim Carrey, and dresses like he's visually impaired. Because he is. Insight. Insight with Mark Farrell on the Progressive Radio Network.
Ah, yes. Hello from New York. I hope you're having a great Wednesday so far. My name is Mark Farrell. The show is Insight on the Progressive Radio Network. So you've been thinking about getting healthier? I know you have. Oh, you are healthy. Good for you. Well, there's always different ways we can improve our health, right? Whether it's through exercise or diet. You're going to meet Tyler Martin in a few minutes. Tyler is a great guy, personal trainer, former athlete, was a wrestler. Good dude, man. You're going to really enjoy our conversation. Super Bowl. Are you into it? Yeah, I know. Kansas City, San Fran, been there before, but I think it's going to be a really big game. And I can just imagine this, like, okay, you've won the Super Bowl. What are you going to do now, Taylor Swift? yeah. TNT, that's their nickname now. Taylor and Travis, TNT. It's got a nice ring to it. You got to admit it, right? So, yeah, January 31st. Where has the time gone? But I'm happy to say so long, goodbye, January. The doldrums of winter, because, like, January, I always define as like the dead of winter. Now on the East Coast, we've had, you know, a week, 10 days of really, really cold weather. But otherwise, we've dodged a bullet so far. Again, it's early though. We could still get hammered in February and in March. But for the last couple days here, it's just been so gray, so gray. No rain or very little. No sun. We're not supposed to get sun in New York until Friday, maybe a glimpse. And then Saturday and Sunday are apparently supposed to be beautiful. So fingers crossed right there. Well, wherever you are, hope you're having a good January. Hope you had a good January. And looking forward to February. As a parent, actually, I think my wife and I have done pretty good. You're going to understand the segue here in a second. I know it came out of nowhere. Like, where is this guy going? But I feel like I failed them in the skiing department and snowboarding. I've never taken them to do either. I know. How could I be not locked up for that? I know. Yeah, busy parenting styles, but they're always doing something, which is a good thing. But have you taken your kids, if you're obviously in an area that's not too far, or you can afford to take them to somewhere where they can ski or snowboard? Oh, by the way, did you hear about the woman who was stuck on a gondola? I think this was on Saturday. She was a snowboarder about to go down for her last run and said, man, I'm really tired, to the gondola operator. He's like, no problem. Jump on in. You know, take a lift down. She's like, great. Thank you. Thank you. Next, you know, they turn off the gondola and she's yelling and stuck from the evening overnight until the following morning until they activate the gondola again. And she's brought down a mountain and she's like, are you kidding me? So, man, that mountain must be like quaking in their boots. Can you say litigation? She's going to have après-ski rights at the open bar. Yeah, the bar will always be open for her for life and that much more. Oh, man. But anyway, skiing, yeah, you know, I love everything associated with skiing. The cold, the beauty, being out in nature. It's just gorgeous. The frigidness. Of course, after skiing at the bar, hot chocolate, a couple drinks, hot tub. I've never done a hot tub, but yeah. Oh, a hot tub after skiing. But all that sounds very enticing, right? But with my eyes, my visual impairment, I can't really separate high spots and low spots, which can be a little bit daunting when you are skiing. You know, the little mogul areas, even though I'm not intending to go down the mogul area, that sometimes they're just there because they naturally form or they're just not graded that well. But it's fun. I love everything associated with it. Actually, the last time I went to a mountain, I rented a snowmobile. And that is fun. You're like, wait a minute. You're visually impaired. You don't really like to go down a mountain on skis, but you'll get on a, you'll strap on a, not strap on, step across a snowmobile. Yeah, I will. I kind of grew up with them in the fields of Monmouth County, New Jersey. A lot of my family has farms or did have farms, and snowmobiles were just like something we did on a snowy, snowy day. Lots of fun, man. Hours and hours. They would just be running. Someone would pull up, get off, and say, all right, you can have it for an hour. That person would go in and get some hot food and drinks, and next thing you know, and next person would show up and go out together. It was a lot of fun. Speaking of winter, I saw a really cool movie the other day called Infinite Storm with Naomi Watts. It's a really good movie. It can be slow at certain times, but I think it's riveting. So it's set, what mountain is she supposed to be climbing? Anywhere, I'll say it's set on the East Coast, but I think it was actually filmed on the West Coast. And she is a ski and search and rescue volunteer or something like that. But anyway, every day she goes up to the mountain and it's beautiful. And this particular day, a storm comes in much faster than predicted. And so it goes very south, very, very south from there. And it involves another actor, character that's actually on the mountain as well. So it's about resiliency. It's about living for another purpose, finding a purpose, I would say, and just endurance, just the resilient nature of human beings not giving up. It's really powerful when people are in extreme conditions, extreme situations that they, you know, peril is almost imminent, and they find something deep down, whether it's something for them to survive or for another reason to survive, meaning someone else, other people. And so I found this movie pretty graveting, riveting. I don't know what word I was trying to say. I've been up since 4 o'clock, so forgive me if I'm a little bit loopy and I need lunch. All those variables are impacting Mark Farrell's performance today on the show. But that's all right. We're having a good time, right? Can't take it too seriously. But anyway, Infinite Storm, Naomi Watts. Yeah, I highly recommend it. I love movies that take place outside, nature. It's, you know, athleticism. It's humanism. I like that form of the word, humanism. It's preservation. It's resilience. It's being indomitable. And of course, it falls all under the beautiful umbrella we call entertainment. Yeah, really well done. Highly, highly recommend it. So how are things going so far for you? Are you attaining everything you want for the new year? Or are you one of those people that doesn't need a new calendar to start something new? Yeah, I talked about this last week a little bit. But just want to address it a little bit more because we all need a little coaxing. It's like my home studio. I have a home recording studio. And I have paperwork everywhere. It's a great studio, but it's messy with paperwork. And I'm like, ugh. I dread just sorting through it, you know, putting it in the pile or the bills or the bills ones. Of course, I have to get paid, file for taxes, all this different stuff. So the thought of the going through that, it's just like bums me out. And I know if I set 25 minutes aside, that's all it takes, 25 minutes aside, I'll be golden. I'll be done. And I'll be like, oh, yeah, I feel so much lighter. I got to get that done. So is there something like that in your life? As little and trite as that sounds, it's something that kind of weighs me down. And I use that example on stages when I give talks about procrastination. That's the one thing I procrastinate on in my office because I'm like, it's easy. No one comes down here. I have any occasional guests, though, come down here when they're local. But it's easy to just be like, yeah, I'll get to another day. Oh, I got to do this. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm renovating a bathroom. Yes, that's a big deal. I'll get to that in a second. But there's so much to do. I guess we prioritize some things that are more fun to do than the laborious things like filing and like adulting, putting your stuff away and thinking about taxes and contacting your lawyer about a will and all that fun stuff, like, you know, college savings, applications, yada, yada, does not end, does it? Thankfully, there's a thing called alcohol and exercise and music, man. Music is medicine. So I've been meaning to renovate my kid's bathroom for over 2 years. It started pre-pandemic. My wife and I are like, yeah, we got to renovate the kid's bathroom. It's your typical hallway bathroom, you know, vanity, toilet, and a tub. Not too spectacular. That's why it needs to be renovated. I told you I'm tired. Renovated. The tile is like a mauve. First of all, that word itself is ugly. So you can imagine the color of the tile. But it's in great shape. But I took a sledgehammer to the entire bathroom the other day. I demolished every aspect of it. There was even a soffit. A soffit's, you know, the part that like hangs down. It's like a lower ceiling within a ceiling. I smashed that apart. And nothing is left in there except for studs and a window and a door. And the plumber came over. That's one thing I don't mess with is plumbing. Because I feel like, all right, whatever money I save, well, I will lose that 10 times fold if I have a leak and I ruin my ceiling and everything else drops below. So I hired a plumber, good guy, by the way, to put in a tub and redo some piping under the sink because I want to relocate a little bit. But it is so gratifying. If you want to renovate or just add on, put up bookcases, a shelf, anything, I guarantee you with like 98% certainty, there's a video out there that'll show you how to do it. And if you still find it daunting, maybe the person didn't explain it well enough. And you can find someone else that clearly and more accurately simplifies things for you. So if you're like one of those persons who just likes to get their hands dirty, so to speak, and accomplishes things, and you're just industrious, I really, really, oh, by the way, and if you like those home improvement shows, I used to watch those a lot, but I kind of got OD'd on those. But I implore you to do that because it is so much fun, so gratifying to work with your hands. Even when you're just sitting in a pile of rubble, thinking like you're in the Middle East, that's what I shouldn't make a joke like that. Sorry, my apologies. I was sitting in a pile literally of rubble when I filmed this the other day. I will put this on the summary page, on the insight page of PRN.live site. I was sitting in a pile of rubble, chopping up the floor, I don't know, like 10 hours into it. And I'm like, oh my God, what have I undertaken? And as my butt is getting pierced by like sharp shards of tile. But I'm like, I love it. After I cleaned everything up, brushed and broomed and vacuumed and broomed and brushed and vacuumed again and again, and wearing my mask and goggles and hat and just a mess, looked like I ran into like the Michelin Man all covered in white sheetrock dust and you name it. And I'm like, whoa, this bathroom is going to look amazing because I have everything in the house. I got all the tile. I'm going to do, I am going to install the vanity, the sink, the undermount sink, and the toilet, but I have the plumbing done, and I'm going to get the tile done. I have done tile, but it takes me so long. It would take me, I don't know, how many days? 4 or 5 days to tile a small bathroom? Because, first off, I'm a perfectionist. And secondly, it's just hard, man. Just, you know, to get it accurate. And then I want to do like one of those things in the wall. What do they call that dumb name? Niche. Yeah, niche. That's when you got to get really skillful. And I'm like, I don't have the skill for that. It's like anything in the trades. If you don't do it often, you know, it's like anything. Like an athlete, you got to practice it every day. But anyway, if you're interested in doing something like that, man, check it out. However small, you can do it. I know you can do it. Just do a little research. Ask people questions. Like I tell my kids, never stop asking questions in life. And you'll get the answers. Maybe not the right answers, but you'll find them eventually if you keep asking. Hey, Tyler Martin is standing by. Actually, I spoke to Tyler a while ago. And this interview is a great conversation about fitness, food components, exercise components, and aging, everything. Mobility, exercise, body weight, you name it. And pardon the sound of my voice. We were on a Zoom call that day. And I sound like I'm in a hole. But nonetheless, it has some great content. Hang out for Tyler Martin on Insight PRN.
Tyler, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me, Mark.
You are looking fit and happy. And you have lots of energy. You can tell it's bubbling over just by seeing you.
Yeah, I'm glad that comes across.
Is that not a coincidence or is that attributed to, of course, your personality, but because you are into fitness and fitness gives you energy, it gives you great perspective, and it just gives you an overall zeal for life?
Yeah, it absolutely does. And it's something that I'm passionate about because it's really something that I think more and more people are recognizing, you know, in the modern era, that this is something that's really important to just overall well-being and quality of life. But there's a major challenge that I think that everybody struggled with. I know I struggled with it, which is, how do I fit all this stuff into my very busy lifestyle? And so that's what really drives my work is how do you take all these things that we're supposed to be doing and actually make them compatible with these crazy, hectic, busy lifestyles that we all live. I know we just chatted offline about your side hustles, and you know, I'm a Renaissance man interested in lots of things. So it's hard to juggle all that when it comes to health and fitness. And so that's really my focus, is teaching people how to do that more efficiently.
So Tyler, what do you mean you're busy? You're a full-time marketer, a personal trainer, a fitness writer, obviously an avid fitness buff yourself, and you're married. So you don't have any free time?
I do. And that's a good segue into kind of the key concept that makes things workable for me, which is friction. So I did just write this book. It's called The Friction Factor, The Busy Person's Guide to Sustainable Diet and Exercise. And the key concept in the book is a term that I use, which is called friction. Friction is the inefficient use of time or energy in a process. And my strong belief is that friction is the reason that so many people struggle to build fitness habits that they can actually stick with for a lifetime.
Sustainable.
Because in order to build a habit, the routine itself, whether it's nutrition or exercise or really anything, think about things that you do habitually, like brushing your teeth or taking a shower or driving to work. These are all things that we don't have to think about. They're kind of on autopilot. And that's the place that you really want to reach when it comes to exercise and nutrition. But it's very difficult to do because most of these processes that we try to adopt are so full of friction. Things like the commute time to get to the gym or the time that it takes to count calories and figure out meal plans. So my whole approach to fitness is a little different. I really try to treat it as a time management problem, not as a motivation problem or a willpower problem. So it's about, how can we eliminate these major sources of friction to make repeatable processes? Because if you can stick with a process for about 66 days, that's the amount of time that it takes for you to form a new habit, and things will start to feel easier at that point.
And the reality is, Tyler, and you've heard this a million times, you've probably rather preached this a million times, it's daunting when a person in a macro sense looks at something, thinks about something, and horribly when they go online and says, oh my God, how could I ever look like that? Because I look like this now. Mm-hmm. Once you start doing one simple thing, as a matter of fact, I used to say to my wife, who's blessed with great genes, sweetheart, you have to be fit for yourself and healthy for yourself. I've changed that script. Now I say you need to be healthy and fit for our kids and also for yourself, because you want to be independent. You want to be able to bend over and tie your own shoes in 20 years. You want to be able to live alone. God forbid I'm not around. You want to be totally, totally healthy within your control. And if the byproduct is you can wear a mini skirt or you have a six pack, great. But that shouldn't be the ultimate goal.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's good. It's good to have these short-term kind of concrete goals like you're talking about. You know, some people are, hey, it's pool season and I want to look better. I want to fit into the bathing suit. You know, those are all things that people have. Those are very typical goals, but it's very important to look at things more holistically because, you know, you talk about things like you hear people say, I yo-yo, you know, I get on diets, I get off diets, or I get on exercise routines and I get off of them. And I think in large measure, that's driven by these very point in time type goals. Like I have a goal weight that I'm trying to hit, or I have a pool party that I'm trying to look good for. And I always ask people, well, what's going to drive you to continue the behavior after that? And the question and the answer is usually, oh, well, not till the next thing comes around that's going to, impel me to start, you know, doing the right behaviors again. So it really is important, I think, to think about the whole context of your life, like your hopes and your dreams and your plans, and really spend some time thinking about, you know, what does fitness look like in the context of this life that I'm trying to live? How can it be an enhancer of, you know, my whole ecosystem, not just these individual little bits that come and go over, you know, over time that really don't drive sustainable behavior?
Yes. And I think we can't underscore enough. I know we just covered this, but again, it can't be highlighted enough that once you start doing something, as little as it is, maybe doing 5 knee pushups, mm-hmm. or walking around your block, something inside is going to go click. Oh, wow. This wasn't horrible. I survived. I did it 2 or 3 or 4 more times. I feel a little bit less tired and I feel inspired. And I'm actually going to do it more frequently or take it to the next level. So all it takes is a little bit of you just putting yourself out there.
Absolutely. And I think that a lot of what gets people tripped up in the beginning of just taking a little step, like what you just described, is that we have these ideas about the way fitness needs to be done. You know, there's this dogma of, oh, in order to exercise, for instance, my workouts have to be very long. They have to be 45 minutes, an hour, 90 minutes, and they have to be done somewhere that isn't, you know, convenient. They have to be in a fitness studio or have to commute somewhere in order to do this. And that just isn't true.
No longer.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people started to recognize that during COVID. That was, you know, one small positive that came out of that situation. So I think that, like you said, I mean, if you don't know where to start, you can build a habit around a 5-minute daily routine. And of course, you know, I'd like to see people do more than that, but you know, ultimately all you really need to do for basic health and fitness is about 20 minutes of exercise a day, including strength training and cardio combined into one session. And you're doing different exercises, you know, each day, so you're not overtraining. And we can get, it's a little complex. We can get into that if you want, but it really is about starting small, getting comfortable and building on that gradually over time.
And Tyra, I'm glad you're a proponent of, I call them micro workouts, because there's been evidence that I'm sure you're probably very familiar with that came out within the last year or so, mm-hmm. that said there's so much validity that it is a aspect that they never thought really worked. But the micro workouts throughout a day do, in a macro sense, have a overall effect, which is great, because people thought, well, if I can only walk 10 minutes or if I can only go to the weight room for 20 minutes, it's not going to benefit me, but that's not true. And I'm glad, because for example, like today, I'm working in my home studio. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll be at my desk all day long, but my gym is on the other side of the wall. I'll go in there and do a couple sets of curls, come back in here. I'll go in later and do some abs on the Swiss ball. I'll do that throughout the day. And first of all, yes, you get it in, but secondly, you just feel like you've had 5 cups of coffee without the caffeine.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. There is mounting evidence that the amount of exercise that one needs to do is not nearly as high as people thought. Now, that doesn't mean you should sit on your couch the rest of the day, because there's a difference between structured exercise and just activity. You know, you can still be an exerciser and be sedentary, so you don't want that. But to your point, I think what the research is really starting to show is that it has much more to do with intensity of effort and much less to do with volume. And so if you're reaching a point of intensity where you're stimulating your body to adapt in some way, that's when the growth happens. That's when you get stronger, you get more cardiovascularly fit. And, you know, people have been saying this for years, but I think the science is just starting to catch up with that.
Hey, Tyra Martin, I'm sure that you would agree that, you know, one of the few silver linings of the pandemic is, yes, what we just talked about in terms of people working out at home and realizing they don't need a boatload of equipment, et cetera, a couple dumbbells and some space, whether it's inside or outside your house. Mm-hmm. But also, I've never been, as I am right now, a firm believer in body weight exercises. I mean, mm-hmm. I've always done push-ups and dips, but since then, the pandemic, I've put in much more emphasis on it, because number one, I think it's always readily available because it's your body.
Right.
And number two, it doesn't cost anything. And number three, I feel like, yes, weight bearing exercises is good for osteoporosis, et cetera. And I do incorporate that. And I'm sure people will as well, but it's just great to be always using your body as a, what's the negative called? Eccentric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Eccentric,
yeah.
Movement, because I just feel like it just stimulates something different than pushing weight.
Yeah. So I think that body weight exercises can definitely be, you know, play an important role in someone's overall regimen. I'm a pretty big fan of, you know, if you're taking a very minimalist approach, let's say you live in a micro apartment, you know, in New York City or something, you don't have space for free weights or machines or anything like that. a combination of body weight exercises and probably a cheap set of rubber resistance bands would give you everything that you need. The one thing I'll say about the one limitation with body weight exercises is that when you reach the point where whatever that exercise is that you're doing is no longer sufficiently challenging, you do need to increase the difficulty somehow. And if you don't have a way to make it more challenging from a resistance perspective, then it means your workout's going to take longer in order to reach that point where, hey, I'm starting to fatigue. And so that's where things like resistance bands can help for sure.
And that's where a personal trainer can come in, because let me tell you something, man, I'm not a big online person in terms of just goofing around, but there's two things I love to check out online: different woodworking tools and aspects. Mm-hmm. And also I've learned some really, really cool regimens from just watching like TikTok videos. Most of them are goofy and, you know, you could get hurt, et cetera. But some of them from personal trainers, sage advice like yourself, are just spot on and just gives you great ideas. So it really is a healthy way to mix things up and keep it fresh.
Definitely. And that's another thing that the personal training industry really, you know, had to think differently when COVID happened. People couldn't go physically see clients, and you kind of saw this explosion of online training, which I think has ended up being a good thing, because now, you know, people that are, you know, training full time, they can take on clients that live halfway across the world. So there's also been an explosion of content, to your point. Not that it wasn't there before, but I think it's exponentially higher now. There's more good content out there where you can learn things that you can do right at home.
Tyler Martin, now you were a professional athlete, a coach, and then you graduated and you became a husband and things evolved from there. And then one day you said to yourself, oh, crap, I'm working a 9-to-5 sedentary job. I have to rethink my fitness regimen. Was that a dark day?
It was, and it was a hard pill to swallow, because you just mentioned, you know, I was an athlete all of my younger life. Yeah, and, you know, when I found out all of a sudden that, hey, you know, the exercise regimen and nutrition plan that I used for years and years as a, you know, a college wrestler and high school wrestling coach, and you know, I showed other people, here's how to do this, it all kind of just went by the wayside when I realized that, hey, this education that I got as an athlete is no longer useful to me, you know, as a busy working person, because it just isn't compatible with the way that most people live their life. And, you know, the likelihood that I'm going to be able to, you know, drive to the gym 3-5 times a week and spend 90 minutes there, it just wasn't happening. So I needed a different approach that could be effective, but, you know, didn't really stick to the traditional approach.
Does this make you a better athlete as well as a personal trainer, having to rethink your whole stance? Obviously, that gave you after about 5 years or so, the genesis to write Friction Factor. So I imagine overall, this has made you a better human on multiple levels.
Definitely. It's definitely helped me see a big difference between exercise for general health and what an athlete does, which really isn't quite the same thing. There's strength and conditioning, which is, you know, falls in the bucket of general exercise. I'm stimulating my muscle tissue to force muscular adaptation or cardiovascular adaptation. That's really the type of exercise that we're doing for general health and fitness. And then there's everything else that an athlete does, which is more skill training. It's motor training. So the reason that athletes spend so much time exercising, it's really not to get bigger, stronger, faster. It's to get better at a skill, whatever that skill may be. And so when I got certified as a trainer and started learning more about physiology, I was able to make that distinction clear. And then I recognized that, oh, you know, athletes actually, when they are just exercising for strength and conditioning, they're doing something much more similar to what I talk about in the book. It's organized a little bit differently versus what they do at practice, let's say.
Hey, Tyler, do you wish you had learned what you knew then, back when you're an athlete? And if so, would you have been a better athlete?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that, and this is still true, I think even at the highest levels, I think most athletes are probably overtraining when it comes to strength and conditioning, not giving themselves appropriate time to recover. And if they were, you know, looking at, you know, the intensity versus volume principle that we talked about at the beginning a little more seriously, they probably would be less susceptible to injury and probably see some performance benefits.
Tyra Martin's my guest. He's the author of The Friction Factor. Let's talk about the dreaded calories. People get so hung up on those. And I tell people, listen, don't worry about calories. Obviously, you have to burn off more than you put in. That's a basic thing. If you because it can be so intimidating to think about calorie counting, food groups, body composition. It's just one big, oh my God, how am I going to manage this? So getting people to move, that's your goal. That's everyone's goal. Step number one. And then once people start moving, they realize, oh, you know what? I can really control my machine, my body, my tempo. So maybe I should start considering more what I put in. So what are some first steps in terms of giving people advice and insight on not knowing much about food groups, types, protein consumption versus junk food, et cetera, to have some harness on what they're doing?
Yeah, that's a great place to start because to your point, it can be very complicated. Yeah, in fact, there's a stat in the book where this study was done, I think back in 2012, that reported that over 50% of Americans think that putting together a healthy meal plan is more complicated than doing their taxes, which I think is probably absolutely true. and that's the perception. And I think that it's very helpful to just start with the basics because, you know, nutrition science is really a young science. We're still learning exactly, you know, what should we be eating? You know, I don't know that we're ever going to find out for sure that there's a perfect diet that every human being should eat because there's genetic variability and all kinds of other factors. But I think the most important thing is that you want to really pay attention to, are you getting an adequate amount of protein in your daily diet? And the reason I say that is if you're not eating an adequate amount of protein and you're not exercising regularly, you're going to start to see after the age of 30, some muscular degeneration. Every decade after 30, if you're not eating a protein-rich diet and exercising your muscles regularly, you're losing 3 to 5% of your muscle mass. So from age 30 to age 80, you've lost 30% of your body mass in terms of muscle. And that is the reason that people get frail, they fall, they have difficulty recovering, or they don't recover. So I think it's important to make sure you're taking in an adequate amount of protein. I've got some info on the book on exactly how you figure that out. Go ahead.
I'm sorry to cut you off.
So the common number right now is somewhere between, and I'm converting from kilograms because they do everything in kilograms, even though we're not in Europe. somewhere between about a half a gram of protein to about 0.7 grams of protein per pound of your ideal body weight. So if you're 150 pound man, you could say, you know, about, what is that? I'm trying to do the math in my head now. about maybe around 100 grams or so of protein a day.
And what does that look like, Tyler? And in what form would you recommend?
So you want to try, I mean, you don't want to live off powder, right? You want to try and get your protein from real food if you can. You want to stay away from processed foods as much as possible. So, you know, if you eat meat, you know, I really recommend seafood. You know, fish is a great source. Things like shrimp are super high in protein.
Turkey,
eggs. Chicken is, you know, is a go-to. So there are lots of ways to get quality protein. And then, you know, supplements can be super helpful, especially if you live a busy lifestyle. And let's say you work in an office and it's just more convenient to make a protein shake with lunch. But try to spread it out over the course of the day. I mean, I don't get really into crazy granular detail about you should eat 5 times or 6 times. I think that over a 24-hour period, if you're getting in an adequate amount of protein, I just say do it in a way that keeps you full. If it's 2 meals, if it's 3 meals, if it's 1 meal, I think it's more about over the course of a day, are you getting that in? And then how you fill in the gaps after that with fat and carbohydrates, I think really comes down to you stay away from processed food as much as you can. You know, try to eat stuff that, you know, is not in a package where possible. And fill in the gaps that way outside of your protein. And at some point, you're probably going to want to start paying attention to things like portions and calories. But like you said, it can be a lot to grapple with in the beginning.
Yeah, I think a real big misnomer, Tyler, is that, okay, I spent X amount of time in the gym or downstairs in my basement or running or walking. So now I can pig out.
Yeah.
I can, you know, floodgates open, et cetera. And that's not true at all. And a lot of times, and this is a sad thing, when you hear of someone passing way too prematurely, and people are like, oh, they were in such good shape. But physical stature, if someone to the eye looks physically fit, that by no means means their insides are fit. Because if you don't eat healthy, but even if you exercise, that's not going to do you an overall life way of living a benefit.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, you know, two legs of that stool. There's the nutrition component and there's the exercise component. Like you said a few minutes ago, a lot of people take this approach of, oh, I can just exercise my way out of this, yeah, you know, this calorie surplus that I've taken in. And the reality is that you may be able to do that in the short run. You know, you may be able to, you know, hit the gym for 2 hours every day in January because you made a resolution. But within 6 weeks, you probably will have given up on that. And now, you know, you're consistently eating more than you're taking in. So I actually just put an article up on my website about this, that your body burns significantly more calories just day to day, you know, operations, keeping your bodily systems functioning, you know, you going about your day, you burn about 80 to 90% of your daily calories just living. And so the reality is that it's much more efficient to, you know, practice some kind of portion control. Exercise helps for sure, but this idea that you're going to burn it all off and do that consistently for years and years and decades is just not sustainable.
What are some of your favorite snacks, Tyler Martin, that you recommend for people like yourself in the office throughout the day? You know, you don't always want to live off carrot sticks or something ultra healthy, you know. An example of something, you know, that's really healthy and something that's, you know, you can get by with it, as well as feel like you got some sugar or some treat in you.
Yeah. So I am, I'm a pretty big fan of, when I'm like at work or on the road, I am a big fan of the protein shake just because it's quick and easy. So I usually take a shake with me. I'm also, I really like fruit. I've always been that way since I was a kid. So apples, oranges, bananas. I'm a huge peanut butter fan. So that's one where you do have to watch the calories. So I try to control that. But I'm, those are just things that are kind of staples in my diet from a snack perspective. The way that I try and frame this up for everybody is that, you know, as long as you're staying away from the really bad stuff, you know, from the trans fats and the saturated fats, anything that fits into your holistic nutrition plan, you know, if you know how many calories you're aiming to eat over the course of the day, you can make pretty much anything work. You just want to stay away from the things that are going to, you know, clog up arteries and cause issues with blood pressure and heart disease and things like that. So, I'm a big, this usually shocks people, I'm a pretty big fan of cereal. It's an easy meal. I can throw it in a bowl. I do some vanilla soy milk with that when I'm in a pinch and I don't have time to cook.
You don't need milk.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Sometimes if I need a snack, it's 9, 10 o'clock at night and I don't want to reach for ice cream or anything else, I'll take some of my favorite cereals that, you know, are maybe borderline-ish healthy, and I'll just put them in a bowl and just eat them as like a snack, like a popcorn thing. So
yeah,
it kind of works.
And there are a lot of more and more. There are a lot of pre-cooked options available that are actually decent. So you may, you know, it's not the greatest thing in the world, but like you said a second ago, you know, there are things that are, you know, on the spectrum of good. And that's one that, you know, I've leveraged, but I went on a trip a couple of years ago for work where I was literally out of town for almost 3 weeks in a row. And I was living in a hotel and I had a microwave and a mini fridge. And there was this pre-cooked chicken breast that was super low in sodium and it was seasoned and it was not processed. And so there are options like that, that, yeah, I don't want to eat that every day. But when you're in these situations where you want to make a healthier choice, there are more options like that now than there used to be.
Tyler Martin, I'm sure I know your answer on this avenue we're going to go down, but so many people that I've spoken to and people in my family as well have bought into meal plans where you have to belong and food is either delivered, etc., and they lose a significant weight, 15, 20, 30 pounds. And you want to support them, but you know it's a short-term fix because they can't sustain it financially and feasibly traveling, etc. I know it can work for people to really get them going kind of in a quick start, but what would you say to people who are considering going down that road versus just trying a fitness regimen with doing their own meal preparation?
Yeah, I think it's a mixed bag. Can you be successful with that? Absolutely. But it's very rigid. So to your point, when something changes, you know, when you're somewhere else, you move, you're on a trip, you know, when you no longer have access to that easy option, you're in a tough spot where you don't know what to put on your plate. So I think one benefit of becoming independent and learning how to do this on your own is that you actually understand it. So you're not just eating the stuff that comes in the box. You actually understand a little bit of how to put together a healthy meal. And this is something that you get better at. So I think you miss out on an educational component when you just rely on a meal service, but it can work. I think the other potential downfall there, I think there's some solutions to this depending on the program, is that it's a fixed portion size. But if you have a goal and you're trying to change the size of, you know, your body or something about your body composition, you're going to need to make adjustments to your day-to-day meal plan. And, you know, unless what you're ordering is completely customized and tailored to your specific plan, at some point, what shows up in that box is not going to be appropriate, you know, based on what your goals are. So it can get you moving in the right direction, but I think it's going to take more than that for most people.
Tyler, what's your feeling, and I'm sure I know this answer as well, but on cross training, for the obvious reason, just mentally, whether you're a runner, maybe you take a fast walk, or you bike, or you swim, rollerblade. Did I just say rollerblade? I just saw those in my garage the other day, and I loved rollerblading, so I'm going to try it again. Anything just to keep it fresh, to keep you outside, and just keep the body moving?
Yeah. I'm a big fan of cross training, but I would say in a much more narrow context for just basic health and fitness. So yeah. I think kind of all that other stuff that you can do, you know, play sports or ride bikes or swim or whatever you like to do recreationally is great. And everybody should keep doing that if that's what they want to do. But I think when it comes down to, you know, what is the essential exercise that I need to get in for basic health and fitness on a day-to-day basis, I try and figure out more so what's going to give me the most bang for my buck out of my time. And so you mentioned cross training. This is a similar concept, but I really am a big fan of what's sometimes called circuit training or interval training. And so I teach people to design these short, no more than 20-minute workouts that include short bouts of strength training, usually 2 to 3 different strength exercises in one workout. And then in between each one of those sets of strength training, a short bout of some type of usually stationary cardio, because you're in your house, you're in a room or the basement or something like that. So it could be as easy as jogging in place or jumping jacks or jumping rope. But when you do these short circuit workouts or interval workouts, you get the benefit of strength training and cardio in the same workout. And it actually cuts the total amount of time you need to spend exercising for basic fitness roughly in half. And the reason that is when you strength train, your heart rate elevates. So it is actually cardio, but usually in the gym, what do? You sit down and you take a break for 5 minutes and your heart rate comes back down. Yeah, sure. But if you do what's called active recovery, so you spend 30 seconds, 2 minutes or so doing, you know, a light stationary cardio while you're resting and recovering, you move on to the next strength training exercise. It keeps that heart rate in the cardio range for the whole workout. So after that 20-minute period, you just did 2 workouts. You did a cardio workout and a strength training workout.
Tyler, as an athlete, coach, I won't say former, because once you are one or both, you are always for life, which is a great thing. As a soccer coach myself and triathlete and cyclist, and as a person who works in a corporate world, I imagine you can wrap your head around how people can say to themselves, oh man, you know, I've worked 12 hours, this job, I'm tired. I just get up from my chair, go to the conference room, from the conference room to my car, or I walk to the subway and they think that's their exercise. What could you say that would empower them, to motivate them? Because you know, you live the life, but you know what the outcome and what the drive is for yourself that works. But in terms of somebody who either needs to lose weight or just needs to get their cardiovascular going so they don't obviously keel over and die, what would you say to them to say, hey, listen, you can do this. It's small, bite-sized steps.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the first thing I like to get across to people is just blow their mind a little bit and say, you can start small. Like we talked about at the beginning, 5 minutes a day is the path to habit formation, because this is all about habit formation. So what I really think people need is short daily workouts. They shouldn't be any more than 20 minutes. They should include strength training and cardio, and they should be done at home. That's going to be the easiest frictionless process that you can do that you're going to actually be able to stick with over the course of time.
I like how you got that in there.
Yeah, that's the way that you eliminate friction. And it really doesn't take as much as you think. Like I mentioned before, with some bodyweight exercises and resistance bands and a floor, if you have a floor at home, you're able to get up and get this done. And I do recommend trying to find those windows of time during the day that are going to be the most repeatable and also insulated from distraction. So I'm a morning workout fan because the world's not awake yet. You know, the emails aren't flying in and your boss isn't calling. And so if you're able to kind of get that just short bout of exercise in before the world wakes up and starts pulling at your priority list, the likelihood that you're going to be able to maintain that over time is going to be much easier. And that's what it's all about, is if you get to that point where it starts to feel easy and it starts to feel automatic, it's going to be much easier to sustain that for years and years.
And you're going to love it more.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'll also start to see the results, and you'll probably want to come back and revisit your commitment level and start to build on top of this basic structure and add to it.
Tyron Martin, how can people find you?
So you can check out my website. It's frictionfactorfitness.com. There's info there about the book, and you can also sign up for my newsletter and podcast, and I post articles there too.
So quickly, because I don't know what kind of agreement you have with your wife, what you can share, but is she an athlete like yourself, or is she someone who needs some coaxing?
So sure. No, it's actually a good topic. So she is not an athlete at all. And she's been following the program strictly for 5 years now.
Yay.
And she's in the best shape of her life.
Really?
And she's way into it with me. So that's fun because we're able to kind of do it together.
The fruition of friction.
Now we're spreading it to the rest of the family.
In the Martin household. I love it. Hey, Tyler, thank you so much for your time, man, and keep making the world a healthier place.
Thanks so much for having me, Mark. This is great.
Good guy, right? Tyler knows his stuff. Yeah, man, a professional athlete. Wouldn't that be fun to be a professional athlete? I thought of it, well, way, way too late, and I didn't have the opportunities because I didn't have any skills, mad skills, to be a professional athlete. But yeah. Wow, to be able to use your body in sport to such an elite level where you're called a pro, that is really neat. I find that to be pretty spectacular. And good for Tyler, and good for you for taking a first step, or maybe elevating where you are right now. You've been walking 3 to 5 miles 5 days a week or more. You're hitting the weights. You're doing push-ups on your counter. You're doing wall squats. And maybe you're eating a salad every 2 or 3 days, every day. Maybe you're making a healthy choice. Or maybe you're having a bowl of ice cream once or twice a week because you can. Because you're burning off more calories than you take in. Because your lean muscle mass, who cares if you have a caliper or not, but you can just tell by looking at yourself in the mirror. You got good lean muscle. And by the way, lean muscle burns calories. I'm sitting here talking to you in a studio and I'm burning calories because, yeah, my jaw is going a mile a minute. Can't help that because I have lean muscle. Lean muscle needs fuel. Fuel comes in the way of muscle. If you don't fuel your muscles with protein, you will cannibalize yourself and your muscles will go bye-bye, gonzo. So as hard as you work to get those muscles, they would just dissipate like that. Did you hear about Roger Waters? You know who Roger Waters is? Half of Pink Floyd. Roger Waters must be one sad dude today because his record label, I think it's BMG, pulled out, canceled him, dropped him. Yeah. I mean, man, he's a cash cow. Roger Waters, Pink Floyd? They dropped him because of his anti-Semitic remarks. Man, big time. Hurtful. I don't even know what he said. I just heard, read the headline today, and I knew he made remarks in the last several months. I can just imagine. You ever get in a situation like, it's like the Wizard of Oz. You don't want to pull back the curtain because then you really don't want to see what's behind the curtain. And that's kind of the case here. I love Pink Floyd's music. And to find out he makes such insensitive, callous, and off-color remarks makes you want to be like, oh, man, not cool. I'm trying to think of a Pink Floyd song real quick that would apply. And I was thinking another one, Bites of Dust. No, idiot, Mark, that's Queen. Anyway, Wish You Were Here, one of my all-time favorite songs. Okay, I'll stop doing that. I promise never to do it again. But Roger Waters dropped from his label. And check this out. They were going to reissue Dark Side of the Moon. That would have been gargantuan. The royalties for Roger Waters? And now he's got nada? I mean, of course, he still has his royalties coming in from all the music that's copyrighted under his name in Pink Floyd. But, man, he must be bumming big time. Must be bumming. Oh, my God. So I did a talk the other day, and it was a great organization. Very small. It's one of the smaller talks I've done in a while. I guess there's about 30 people. And it was an organization that, these are managers. It's an organization that has residences for persons with disabilities, multiple disabilities, blind, deaf, deaf-blind, and again, multiple disabilities. And these are managers, and there are about 18 different residences in the state of New Jersey. They do a phenomenal job. They've been around for over 50 years. And people who go into this business, I was telling them, don't go into it for the money. There's no glory. You go into it to positively impact lives. And that is just special. That is just remarkable to be able to go into a residence. And if someone has autism, intellectual disabilities, you name it, paraplegic, deafblind, and to however you can, make them feel better through entertainment, making them feel important by simply listening. Wow, there's no better impact. And I shared some words with them. My mantra is my difference makes me stronger. My difference makes me stronger. And you can borrow those five words because those words are very, very powerful to fuel you in whatever you do, professionally, personally. So I urge you to think about those words. It took me years to articulate that. What I was doing all my life that, you know, that stems from my permanent visual impairment, but hasn't stopped me from building furniture, decks, competing in triathlons when I can't see the swim course, being in a radio studio with five different monitors at this one rock station I work with, a jazz station that I work with currently. I can't even see the monitor. Yeah, don't get me started. I know, it's the law. They got to make things work, and I know. Anyway, so we do what we need to do to get by in life. Yeah, there are laws and practices in place. Sometimes they work. Sometimes they're not enforced. But my difference makes me stronger, really defines me. And I know it defines you. That's why you're listening to PRN. And maybe that's why you're listening to this show. Because you know that I don't get daunted by much in life. Yeah, I've failed at lots of things in life. Hell yeah. And I'll continue to fail because I try new things. Do I get scared? Sure. Do I get intimidated? Yes. Do I get embarrassed? Sure. But what the hell? What is life without trying or trial and error? That's how you get good at something. That's how you fulfill your goals. You may want to dream of being a, a Navy SEAL. And then you're like, I can't scuba dive. Then you're like, okay, on to the next thing. I can't be a Navy SEAL. Maybe you want to be a school teacher. But then you realize, oh my God, I'm only good at one kid at a time. I can't deal with 5 fifth graders, whatever the case may be. But don't let any barrier stand in your way, whatever you want to do with life. That's for sure. All right, we're going to end with a powerful statement like that. I don't know how powerful that was, but I hope you had a good time. I did as well. Thank you, Tyler Martin, for being the great physical specimen and the person that just shares all this great sage advice on fitness and health. Good for you and good for us for listening to Tyler Martin. My name is Mark Farrell. Keep living and laughing. Let's do it again next week.
Insight with Mark Farrell. Check out this and all Insight shows on the Insight page at PRN.FM. PRN.FM. Have Mark speak at your company, your kids' school or college. Mark speaks on critical topics that affect kids and adults everywhere, from anti-bullying, mental health, drugs, and alcohol to overcoming adversity. Visit MarkFarrellMotivation.com for more info. Insight, Thursday mornings at 11 on the Progressive Radio Network.